Survey Research.
Good morning, everyone. How you doing? So I'm here to take a slightly different tack. We're going to talk about school readiness in terms of getting children and schools and families ready to begin kindergarten. And I'm going to be sharing an example of from Silicon Valley. Anybody here from California? Few people? Great. And specifically, we're going to be talking about San Mateo County. So, by the way, Dr. Lynn Mobilio is our principal investigator, and since she and I prepared this abstract, she's had a baby and has a precious newborn, so that's why she's not standing here presenting instead of me. I've been involved with this project for over 10 years, so I feel really confident to do it, but I just wanted to let you know, and also let you know that neither she nor I have any relationships to disclose. So here's a little bit about the kindergarten assessment, specifically in the Bay Area of California. And what you'll see is that we have several, let's see, this is going to be our little check to see if our animation is working. Yes. Very exciting. So what you can see is that this project actually started in 2000, and since then we have interviewed thousands and thousands of folks about kindergarten readiness in three particular areas. Started in San Mateo County, then branched out to Santa Clara, now being done in both Alameda counties, Sonoma County, Santa Cruz County, doing it also in Los Angeles County, which is a big baby. You can't see it on the map because it's LA. And also we've done it in targeted areas as well in terms of looking at the preschool readiness and transitioning to kindergarten. So what I'm talking about is specific to San Mateo, but it reflects a growing interest in the state of California in terms of what does readiness mean and what are community roles, what are family roles, and what are school roles in achieving readiness. And raising the big question of this presentation is, does readiness actually matter? So how it came to be in terms of San Mateo was San Mateo had tracked overall indicators of children's well-being over and over for many years and saw that third grade reading scores was their kind of ultimate indicator of whether children were actually succeeding in school or not. Did not like the way the third grade reading scores were going over and over again and said, okay, what are we going to do about it? It's a community role. Let's find out what's happening with our children when they enter kindergarten to understand why we weren't seeing progress by third grade reading scores. So we've, as I mentioned, we've interviewed thousands of kindergartners, elementary teachers, and the families that are associated with each one of those kindergartners. So we have a huge database, and it's across many, many school districts. And I'd like to thank, right now, I just want to stop and say that because of the community participation, teachers, school districts, and families, willingness to participate, to sign consents, to be trained, to link up the findings from our readiness efforts to ongoing abilities and proficiencies throughout the school districts, we have this beautiful database. So it represents thousands and thousands of folks participating. And the linkage between the districts and access to the standardized test scores is really, really important for us to pose this question, does readiness matter and does it stick by the third grade? So that's basically the overall intention of what we're trying to do with this presentation. So the other thing is that we've also heard that there's a kind of not only if you agree that readiness matters, well, can the individual schools, the individual teachers make a difference and catch up for those that enter not ready and get them on their way so that by the third grade that they really have achieved proficiency. We are taking the stance that readiness does matter, and what we think we'll present data to you today that shows that not only does it matter, it continues on in terms of proficiency at third grade. So what we're going to do to answer this question is very quickly talk to you about our model, talk to you about the longitudinal study that we were able to look at between third and fifth grades, and then we'll very, very quickly talk about the an effective intervention that's been taking place in order to capture and help families that their children weren't ready to, in 4 weeks, get them more ready and say, well, does that make a difference in overall proficiency as well? So I appreciate the opportunity to get a chance to talk to you today. And I know it's a slightly different take on some of these health issues, but what we've seen is that they are related, and it does actually take community efforts to make a difference in terms of overall school achievement. And I also wanted to thank the section, the public health and nursing, and especially the vision care section, for sponsoring us. And I wanted to thank all of my co-presenters as well. Okay, so here is the kind of the model. Probably a lot of you have seen this in terms of overall ready child, ready family, and ready schools. And those are what the communities have been working on, saying, okay, let's understand where the children are, what can we do to support the families, and by the way, how are schools receiving the wide variety of children that enter their doors. We have different observation and methodological tools. We've developed the kindergarten observation form, which is done in the first 3 weeks of school. Again, we have parent permission and parent information form about their behaviors at home in terms of worries about stresses, television watching, hours of sleep that the children get a day, and their healthy behaviors and nutrition. So that's kind of our parent information form. High percentage of participation from families. And then the teachers also let us know what they think are the most important components of readiness. That was a kind of a community question. If we understand where our children are, how will we understand what's appropriate or not? And basically the answer was, well, let's look at what teachers tell us in terms of what's important. Here is our model in terms of the basic building blocks. What you'll see is self-care and motor skills. Self-regulation and social expression, or what we call the social and emotional well-being. We've seen a lot of differences in terms of where children are, and then, of course, the all-important kindergarten academics. Normally, I would spend a lot of time talking about these indicators and about the scale. Instead, I'm going to go right to what the data has shown over and over again. And basically what we have done is some fairly extensive cluster analysis that gives us the ability to kind of capture by these kind of four readiness portraits what readiness looks like. And we've seen this over and over again in thousands of children that we've looked at, many, many districts. So we feel a lot of confidence in terms of these overall portraits. What we see are that there's, and this is San Mateo data, about 53% of the children in San Mateo looked like they were ready across all of the four dimensions. We called them the all-stars. They're kind of opposite are the ones that children that were not entering ready on any of the abilities in terms of academics, social and emotional well-being, or self-care and motor skills. About 7% of those in San Mateo. And then we kind of these combinations, and what we call 19% of our children were social stars, doing very well in social and emotional well-being, self-care and motor skills, just hadn't quite gotten the basics of kindergarten academics. And language acquisition is a very, very big factor here. Focused on the facts are those that were doing very well at kindergarten academics and self-care and motor skills. Remember, this is Silicon Valley. We have a lot of these children that are really having problems with social and emotional well-being. And we've already heard a lot about that in this session today. So we did a lot of work in the community on trying to understand the relationship and what the factors are in terms of language acquisition and social and emotional well-being, and we could go on and on about that. But just wanted to let you know that some of these issues in terms of social and emotional well-being have been taken up and really used to kind of give back and support the teachers in some of the efforts that they're doing. And of course, it had a bearing on our overall question, is it enough to help can teachers themselves catch children up when they're not prepared? And especially not so the case when you're dealing with social and emotional well-being and challenges. So that wasn't enough for us. What we wanted to do then, as I mentioned, we had the participation and the permission of the school district, the entire San Mateo County, all of the school districts, and we were able to track data for five of the eight school districts from the third to fifth grade. We really wanted to say, okay, you know, we see that there's differences in readiness. How does that compare after the fact, several years down the road? Does readiness stick? And the differences in readiness portraits that we saw continue to play out in the third through the fifth grade. So, answer, yes, readiness did stick. 62% of our all-stars are at the proficient or the advanced level. So that was great news. We were able to understand that all-stars were staying ahead of the curve, and also those that were very strong in social and emotional well-being continued to outperform those that weren't. So again, just driving home the importance of social and emotional well-being. And then we also saw, unfortunately, that our needs prep youth down here continue to not fare very well at all. So very disappointing there. So what that means is if you started ready, you continued to stay ready, especially if you were ready in the area of social and emotional well-being. If you needed preparation, you just got worse and worse, and by the third grade, you were not performing very well at all. And then here's where we also saw that the needs prep children have closed the gap, but they remain significantly behind all other portraits. Preschoolers remain ahead. This is a big question about the importance and whether preschool really does make a difference. We think that we have, and at least in our data, have shown that preschool experience really, really is important. And of course, the question is, you know, making sure that it's high quality preschool. And that we'll also, those that have language issues continue to fare worse than those that are English proficient. So, here's kind of our model in terms of what works in terms of preparation. Preschool being English proficient, participation in a summer transition program if you hadn't had any preschool experience whatsoever, being well rested. I mean, in our cluster analysis, we're actually able to draw out what are the important indicators of readiness, being able to perform well in school. If you're older in kindergarten, you do better. Girls seem to do better. And the area of special needs, which is a growing area of interest for us, really had a big bearing on whether you were proficient and continued to perform well. I'm going to go ahead and switch very quickly to the last little piece that we wanted to leave you with. And so the community that had been working on all this said, okay, that's great. We understand that we have a large group of children that don't have any opportunity to participate in preschool activities. What can we do to develop? And so you've heard about these kind of like what they call the little kindergarten boot camps. So basically, with a high-risk group of children that from the data said, well, if they're going to continue to not have success, what can we do to help them get ready for kindergarten? So the 4-week boot camp model taught by kindergarten teachers, where they're going to be going to school. We did an evaluation to understand, well, are these children actually doing it better at catching up? And again, targeting those children that had language acquisition issues. So the story is that yes, we were able to see that they increased their pretest scores and increased their performance along the indicators in terms of readiness across the board. So very exciting. And what we also learned is that, you know, the children at higher levels of risk, which are low maternal education, low income, again, the special needs, the English language status, and lack of preschool experience. They started the kickoff to kindergarten program at lower levels of readiness across all dimensions, but they made the most progress across all of the dimensions. So that was very exciting, and now there's evidence and proof to keep on expanding and developing these kindergarten boot camp issues. I'm going to go ahead and pass this up. So basically our key messages are, yes, school readiness does matter. It sticks. We have longitudinal data that's quite fresh and current to show that it's important across all of the dimensions. We also see that social expression, the social emotional well-being, is very, very critically linked to later success, and that preschool and summer transition programs are linked to those skills that appear to be most important. We can make interventions and we can be successful, and what the communities that have been involved in this now are really actively sharing their information with both families and schools to make sure that folks understand their role in terms of preparation for kindergarten. I wanted to let you know that the copy of the report, Does Readiness Matter, can be downloaded from our website because we feel very strongly that this question about does readiness matter and does it stick is super important, and we'd love to see if other people can use the data as well. And thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll be taking questions at the end. Our last speaker is Dr. Suzanne LaBerge from...